Zen's hometown was a sheer-sided ditch of a place. Cleve's houses and factories were packed like shelved crates up each wall of a mile-deep canyon on a one-gate world called Angat, whose surface was scoured by constant storms. Space was scarce, so the buildings huddled into every available scrap of terracing and clung to cliff faces and crowded on the bridges which stretched across the gulf between the canyon walls. A gulf which was filled with sagging cables, dangling neon signage, smog, dirty rain, and the fluttering rotors of air taxis, ferries, and corporate transports. Between the steep-stacked buildings, 1,000 waterfalls went foaming down to join the river far below, adding their own roar to the various dins from the industrial zone. The local name for Cleve was Thunder City. Zen had been just 10 standard years old when he came here with Ma and Micah. Before that, they had lived on Santharaki. Before that, Qualat. And before that, he couldn't even remember. So many worlds. A blur of cheap rooms and changing skies. They tended to leave places in a hurry, always running from the people Ma said were following them. But by the time they got to Cleve, Micah and Zen were starting to understand that the people were just bad dreams leaking out of Ma's imagination, like the thought waves which she saw coming off walls and windows sometimes. So there they had stayed, managing Ma as best they could. Micah had found a job for herself in the factories. Zen had been drawn to easier ways of making money. Well, not that easy. The chase in the Ambersai Bazaar had shaken him. As he came out of the station, he could still feel the weight of that stolen necklace dragging his coat down on one side. It felt like bad luck. Wanting rid of it, he walked through the neon puddles and the white noise of the falls to the street where Uncle Bugs kept shop. He did not notice the drone which followed him, training its cameras on him through the rain and the spray and the crowds. Uncle Bugs wasn't really anybody's uncle. He wasn't even technically a he. He was a hive monk, a colony of big brown beetles clinging to a roughly human-shaped armature which they'd made for themselves out of sticks and string and chicken bones. There must be millions of them, thought Zen, as he stood in the dim little office behind the shop, holding up the necklace. A rustling sound came from under Uncle Bugs's grimy burlap robe. In the shadows of the hood, there was a paper wasp's nest of a face, like a chapati with three holes poked in it, two eyes and a ragged mouth, with shining bug bodies crawling and seething in the dark behind. The voice that came out of the mouth hole was made by 1,000 saw-toothed limbs rubbing together.
"That is a nice piece, Zen. Better than the usual junks you bring me."
Long black antennae wavered at Zen through the holes in the mask. Most hive monks spent their time riding the K-barn on endless mysterious pilgrimages. It was odd to find one running a shop, but Uncle Bugs was good at it. He could haggle as well as any human.
200, he buzzed.
That was at least 100 less than Zen had hoped for, but he was tired, and he didn't like that necklace any more. So he put it on Uncle Bugs's greasy counter, and a crude, insect-covered coat-hanger sculpture hand reached out from beneath the burlap robes and took it. He came out of the shop counting the wad of notes, each with its smiling video portrait of the Emperor. Then he headed for home, feeling like he always did at the end of a job, like he'd flown free for a while, and now he was going back into his cage. He didn't think to look back. He did not see the drone descend out of the neon fog onto the roof of Uncle Bugs's shop. There was a flare of light, a quick clattering sound from inside the shop, and the drone reappeared. It hovered outside until a girl in a red raincoat arrived. She looked up at it. The drone angled its rotors and took off after Zen, with the girl following on foot.